And I know that Nikki has got an incredible message for us this morning. So why don't we give her a round of applause too, because she's amazing.
Good morning. How's everybody today? It is really warm up here. So if I suddenly faint, you'll know why. I feel like carrying this extra baggage on my front is like carrying like a big hot water bottle. So if you think about how hot you might feel and multiply it by a bit, that's kind of somewhere near I am. I can feel my top lip glistening. It's a glamorous life, the life of a pastor. I can recommend it to everybody. Our theme this month and next month is the theme of battles and being equipped for life. And it's something that we're passionate about. But, you know, it's a funny thing. I kind of think that we should maybe this. So every time we stand on the platform, whoever you might see up here, and we there are many battles raging at the moment, and I know for so many of you, because we sit with you, we talk. The great news is that we have a God who is fighting on our behalf, and I'm speaking, but this is how it happened, and I know that actually this was God's plan A for this morning. There's lots of information that just goes in one ear and out the other. There's loads that you take on. But one of the things that has been such a useful key for me is birthing a new church this morning. In case you hadn't noticed, newsflash, we're birthing a new church in New Sorry to use such a graphic analogy, but actually it's kind of important for us to understand what our battles raging in our lives personally are not divorced from the big picture corporate. And when they talk to you about the phases of labor, there's the early phase, which is the stretching and growing phase. If I could have my next slide, that would be really handy. Phase. And that's where I want to zero in just for a moment. Because the transitional phase, where everything in the woman giving birth makes her want to give up. It. It's too painful. I want to stop. I'm too exhausted. I'm overwhelmed. What they tell you when you're preparing is that this is precisely the point when it's time to level of strength, where there is another level of stamina, where there is another level of resilience. Is to come. There's this one last bit of energy and strength to find. Church, at the very point that we want to give up, we are actually called to push. And if 6 months of feeling like your back is against the wall and it's all too hard and you're just we have everything that we need to find that next gear and to make it through this. Truly, at this moment. But you know what? If we quit now, the new life damaged or irrevocably lost. It's harmful to both mother and baby at that. If we will embrace God's process, when the pain levels feel unbearable, when it feels hard, God has the most incredible way of releasing a new thing. And today, as we exuberantly, extravagantly send the Parr family. Yes, there's pain dear to us. We've journeyed 14 years of life together as a church family, and sorrow at parting. But for each of us, there is new life awaiting today. And I've had so many wonderful people ask me, how was your holiday? On one level, it was amazing and it was really restful. But honestly, my vulnerable moment for you this morning, discouragement like I've never experienced before in my life. And I've had times of encouragement over a cup of tea at different moments in my walk with Jesus. But this was like really describe it, is it just felt like a relentless pounding, wave after wave. You're having, it's pointless. This tape on repeat, has anyone else ever been there? But that's where I found myself, and that's why I want to speak this. Then that's what many of you are experiencing too, because my life is a prophetic statement for what's happening in the wider body of Christ. And so I feel confident that I'm not alone in that. But years ago, before I was ever leading a church, before I ever knew I would lead a church, God dropped a revelation into my spirit that was for this moment now and for many other moments where I will experience discouragement in my life again. And it comes from Exodus 14, and if you have a Bible, I'd love you to turn there. I'm going to focus broadly on the whole chapter, but I'm going to zero in specifically on some verses. And the backdrop is this. The Israelites have been in a place of terrible oppression for years. And but the process is just riddled with stress and setbacks. Time for those people to be released from oppression. Pharaoh seems like he's going to disappointment after disappointment. There's blow after blow. Are you feeling that? In Exodus 14, where they are on their journey to freedom. Can you imagine how in a nation that wasn't theirs, and they're finally making those first tentative steps to the new too. And that's kind of inevitable whenever we step into something new. And they're on. We're finally going to taste the freedom that we were destined for, but as we read through the chapter of Exodus 14, we find that actually Pharaoh has a different plan. Tells us, and he begins to pursue. I'm just going to read from verses 12, and then I'm going to unpack it a tiny bit for us. Had a change of heart towards the people, and they said, what is this that we've done? We've let Israel his war chariots for battle and took his army with him, and he took 600 charioteers over all of them. That's a big army. The Lord hardened the heart. As they were leaving, take note of this, confidently and defiantly. That's their chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army. And they overtook them as they camped by the As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians marching out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken by bringing us out of Egypt? Did we not say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let Egyptians as slaves, than to die in the wilderness?'" They're on their bid for freedom, and they suddenly find themselves absolutely and say, "What is your response when you are surrounded?" They've got the select 600, but then he just throws in all the rest of them for good measure. Plus, terrifying to watch this army advance and to feel like, "Oh, we thought we were there." Because on the other side, there is sea, and God has deliberately told Moses to position the got nowhere to hide. As far as the eye can see, they are completely. When discouragement sets in, when things don't go according to, and all of a sudden the enemy advances and we find ourselves in the heat of battle, guys choose. Well, next slide, please. First of all, they made the journey from surrendering and confidently. What kind of a face is that? It's this, isn't it? If I'm leaving defiantly, bringing my step, they had strength in that moment. And yet, gone is the confidence, and the Bible tells us that they were very frightened. Be scared when we face adversaries. It's what we do with our fear. Their journey is that they go from being scared, next slide please, to scapegoat. And I find that so sad, because as their fear multiplies, warfare that they know how to use in kingdom terms, they start to point the finger. And they say, "What have you done to us? You've brought us here to die." It's classic human nature. We are in this place where we're birthing something new. It feels hard. We're pushing against things. We feel resistance. We feel discouragement. We have a choice, and we have a choice either to pick up kingdom weapons of our warfare and learn how to use them. So let's take a look of whether to pick up fear or whether to pick up faith. And I think we know. It does tell us that they cried out to God, but it's really clear from what God then goes on to say to Moses. Desperate. And God says, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to move. Tell them to." If we don't, allow faith to rise in our hearts, then what we will pick up is fear, and what we will wield. Okay, to feel fear. But there's another weapon for confidence in God. That is trust in the one who has called us and who is faithful. We are skylarks. We sing against a black backdrop. We see that the dawn is coming. Church, come on, your back may feel against the wall, but there is another level of faith for you. Negativity instead of truth. And we have a choice every time we face. Or whether we will pick up the weapon of the truth of the Word of God. You see, give them a sneak preview. But instead of placing their feet on His truth, they begin walking. They're already assuming they're going to die in the wilderness. That's what they say to Moses. You've brought us to die. They're looking back on their time in Egypt as though they never. How many times do we do that, church? In the moments where it's tough, as we step into God, can remember things that were actually really tough with rose-tinted glasses. Or really wanted to do this anyway, or me on holiday. Is it worth it? This is so pointless. Like, what? Why am I doing? It's not a weapon of warfare. All it does is breed more negativity. And you know what it does? It then begins to encourage, and your spirit is in turmoil, and people begin to pick up on it and say, scribes. It's like a forest fire. The power of life and death resides in our tongue. Battles that lie ahead, we're going to have a choice as to whether we pick up the weapon of negativity and make truth the confession from our lips. Thirdly, as they look for a scapegoat and deflect their fears onto Moses and try to blame him from the chaos, happens, they start to fight within rather than facing their adversary without. Relationships and friendships, that when the going gets tough, what we begin to do is, and we place our gaze onto somebody else who is responsible for our is powerful enough to bring about victory in your life. And no one person, church leaders who very sadly repeatedly fall across the world, and it breaks my heart every time. Responsibility, because actually the faith journey that any church is on is our call to lead you into the things that God has. I want to say that's lazy Christianity. Truthfully, as much as we can hear from God, and our heart is to see each of us flourish and us a choice. Pete and Nikki, why did you lead us here? This is so hard. Imagine, and there's millions of pounds still to find, and we're all exhausted. Our building was, the old building was fine. Like, what were the constraints? We could have done something. We could have built a mezzanine. But kingdom weapon of warfare is this. I take ownership for my position in the kingdom. I take ownership as a child of God. Big enough to secure my victory, and no one individual is big enough to secure my defeat. Actually, a place of victory and destiny, and Him alone. Take responsibility, church, when the going gets tough, when we face those battles, and actually securing victory, because that, you know, we can think about defeat, but actually the more exciting thing is up those weapons of our warfare and stand together in unity as one and push together great things. If we each play our part, that's how it's designed to work. Pete was a PE teacher. One of the things that they teach you is the language of ownership in sport. A football team, we use the language of they. Oh, they're playing terribly. They should have done this. The first time in however many years it was, the language changes from they. We're on it. Isn't that true? There's a lesson in this together. And if you notice a subtle shift in your language, done is you've dropped your weapon of responsibility, because we're in this together, and there'll be tough for us to use the language of we when we're in the bottom of the valley or when we're on the mountain. This faith journey together. So, finally, well, what happens next is that God is hugely gracious. The right weapons. They did cry out to God, and we'll hand them that. That was a good response. But they But God's grace, God's beautiful, overwhelming, made it across into the wilderness and one step closer to the promised land. And I know that you're not supposed to add anything to Scripture or take anything away. That's not what I'm trying to do here. Incredible song. Yeah, let's bust out the tambourine. Plastic air guitar is probably as good as it's going to get. And that's great, isn't it? Because we know that praise is one of the weapons of our warfare, right? So, in church, you've heard me say this before, but I want to say it really clearly today. More powerful would it have been if they had sung that song of praise after the victory had come? You see, the final weapon of our warfare In the moment where they could have sung, they chose to panic and there was silence. He was delighted with the fact that they thanked him for the victory, and they would have been overwhelmed by his when it cost them everything. What in the, if in that moment of discouragement, like I experienced from all these things that were just surrounding me, what if there was a song of praise to be I and us together as a family as we face those giants that we inevitably. But this incredible song of victory and praise and trust. If we felt fearful on the inside of us, what if our spirits were actually just resonated from us? You see, there's a journey that God has. Was missing. Not missing because the scriptures are lacking, but because God wants us to learn. But it's even more powerful. It's even more kingdom filled. It's a weapon of our war. Find our song, and you will be our strength, even though we look. So the journey they could have taken was different. Instead of fear, to stand on the truth of the Word of God, because whenever we begin to allow faith to rise in our heart, what God has done and accomplished for us before. And if in the moments where I've been feeling discouraged over to look back on his faithfulness. If I had remembered the everyday miracles someone of which I have seen so many, then I would have gone from a position of faith to a position. Because when you begin to remember who God is and what he's done and what his promises are, you begin for changing the atmosphere and for changing the trajectory. Position of praise that they could have found in that moment, but they didn't. They found it later. So I want to leave you with two things. The first is a question. How do you fight your battles? And then I want to leave you with a challenge. To this challenge. It's time. It's time to pick up. Leading us in a song. So if I could invite the band back up. Today we're going to take our discouragement. We're going to take the pain of. We're going to take all of those circumstances that make us feel hemmed in and trapped and like it's totally impossible for God to break through. And for each of us, that's going to be something different. And we're going to sing some truth together this morning, Skylight Church. And we're going to make our praises loud for the next 5 minutes or so. I want to invite you to stand with me. And we're going to do this as a family. So what to say? Si and Vicky, 14 years. An incredible journey, but what we have seen consistently from both of you is a willingness to say yes to God. And that's a faithfulness and a steadfastness that is hard to quantify in terms of how much it has meant to us and to so many that you chose to say yes to God, even in coming here in the first place individually, then getting married and continuing to make your response and your posture towards God a yes. But also, it's a faith-filled response to God. It's faithful and it's faith-filled. And one of the things that we have so appreciated about both of you is the fact that you definitely have embodied that quality of the Skylark, which says, no, I'm not just going to look at the status quo, but I'm going to call out the thing that God is doing, the different picture, the kingdom picture. And I can just think of countless meetings where we've sat together and we've been discussing one issue or another, and one or both of you has piped up with a word of, yeah, but hang on a minute, let's just, what does God want to say about this? And that's something that we've so valued about you. You have carried so many functions between you in the life of the church. But what we want to honor you for today is not just faithfulness in upholding a function. It's actually the steadfastness and the integrity of your character. It's the love that has exuded in the way that you have carried what you've carried. It's the tenacity and the resilience to say a continued yes, even when we know at times it would have been much easier and sometimes preferable to say a no. And that is something that we know is going to propel you into your new season as you lead your own church. It's going to be a hallmark of your ministry. And we believe that as you have invested your lives and sown seeds of faithfulness and kindness and grace, you're going to be surrounded by team and by people who have that same like-for-like heart and call. Your worshippers in and out of season. We're going to miss that resonant voice of Si's, aren't we? You know when Si's in the house because you can hear him in worship. In fact, on one of our live album recordings, you can totally hear him in the time of free worship. Everyone's singing, but Si's voice just cuts through. And I think that is a real prophetic statement, actually, that you're going to be a voice in the wilderness, that actually, as you go to that nation, God is going to give you so much territory, but your weapon, part of your weapon, is going to be your song. And that message, as much as it was for us as a family, it's for you as a family. We've seen you choose a song in every season, and we're going to miss those vocal cords brightening up our Sunday mornings. But we know that Auckland is going to hear that heart cry of worship. And there's going to be a generation who are drawn to that thing that is in both of you, that kingdom light and life that he has given you.
Guys, I just want to thank you for who you are. I'm going to change my... I'm going there, Mel. Thank you for who you are and everything you've meant to us as a church, us individually. I thought I was all cried out and I wasn't going to do it today, but sorry. Tissues aren't going to help. That is a bandage on a cut artery. Okay. Well, it wouldn't I did work. What's in these? That's amazing. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you for everything that you are. And, you know, I've been out for meetings with Si monthly and six weekly and for so long now, chatting through stuff. And so regularly in our meetings, it flips around and he starts to counsel and help me. He's so wise. He's such a rock in the life of the church. You both are. You are amazing pillars in this place. And we are going to miss you greatly. And we will feel that. But the great thing is, as I said this morning to some people, is that this creates space. And God has got amazing people in place ready to come and bear weight, to be those who rise up and thought, maybe there was no place for me, but suddenly a space becomes available. So be listening to God and thinking, come on, where do I fit? What's my call? What's my thing? Because all these guys have done on their journey is say yes to God. That's it. They've just said yes to God. When it hurts and when it's easy, they've said yes. And that's the challenge for all of us. And I know that's something they'd want to leave us with, that we would be a people who say yes to God. And so as you have said yes to God on this, we officially now send you out with rejoicing, with celebration, with tears, yes, but with such hope for what God has got for you in New Zealand. And this friendship will continue to grow. It will blossom. It will be amazing. And we will be those who look back in years to come and say, look what God did. Isn't he faithful? Isn't that incredible? So we thank you. We commission you. We send you officially. And thank you for your generosity. We're able to give them a gift of a few thousand pounds personally for them. But as a church, we've also been able to sow £5,000 into the new church of New Zealand. So has the network. So they've got £10,000 waiting for them to start to do church out there. So thank you for that. God is so faithful. And this is, let's give a huge round of applause to the Parr family. So let's lift our arms up to these people. Let's reach out to them. Lord, we thank you for the Parr family. Lord, we thank you for their obedience in saying yes to you. We thank you for all that you have for them in New Zealand. And Lord, we declare over them the best is yet to come. Lord, we release them. We send them. We don't see them go. We send them out from this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are writing a story that we're all part of. And this is just one more part of your amazing story, Lord. Lord, bless them. Give them your peace that passes understanding. Lord, when the going gets tough, may they know that they are called of you and they are doing what you've asked them to do. Lord, we pray that you will go before them and prepare an incredible way. Lord, even now, with our prayers, we prepare the ground in New Zealand. We prepare it. Be ready to hear the word of God, New Zealand, because it's coming in a way you've never heard it before. May your eyes be opened, and may this family be astounded at the church and the things that grow out of this obedient walk. So, Lord, we send them with joy. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
So, before they move anywhere, I know that Kids Church have got some gifts that they'd like to give to the children. So we've got one for little Shiloh, which I'll let Si hold on to. And we've got one for Zion. And we've got one for Aaliyah. And that's just a special gift for you to take on your way and for you to know that you are so, so loved. And every single one of those children and all of your helpers are cheering you on massively. So those are from your friends in Kids Church. And we also, I mean, the gift is in your bank account, but there are some beautiful words in there because it's hard to do it on the spot in the way that you intended to. So we just want you guys to know that we're sending you out with so much love. Would you like to speak?
I'm not.
No, it's okay. So I just want to say thank you to all of you for loving us. And we came as like teenagers, just kind of by ourselves, and we gained much more than we could ever imagine. Just because I look out across this room and I see our family, I see our friends, I see people that have lifted our hands and lifted our heads, been supporters of us. And, you know, we're going back so rich. You know, I just am so blessed. And I'm really looking forward to announcing the dawn in New Zealand. The fact that as a network we are now Skylark International, there is space for not just what goes on here. And I the kingdom of God is bigger than just what we see in this room. It's bigger than what we see in this nation. It's an unstoppable force. It's God's first plan for redeeming the world back to himself. And we are the greatest movement that has ever been released on the face of this planet. And it's that unstoppable thing that God has for us when we say yes to Him. And I'm really glad that you said that, because it's our yes that empowers us. God's just waiting to put His super on our natural. All we have to do is go, yes, God, I'm here, I'm available to you, and watch what He does. So thank you very much for your love and support. Thank you for the gift as well. It's awesome.
In worship, I had a picture, and I was just thinking, oh my goodness, we're jumping off this cliff of faith. We can't see what's ahead of us. You know, when you do, you imagine a free fall. I've never jumped off a cliff, but if you imagine jumping off a cliff, you kind of imagine you can't really quite see when you jump off the cliff what is coming. And I just had this picture that Jesus was like right next to me, and He just smiled, and He's like, are you going to do it? Let's do it. And then He just ran in front of me and jumped and just turned around as He was running, going, come on, let's do it. Wow. And it just made me think that actually sometimes when we step out in faith, you think you're stepping out of faith in the unknown, and you don't know what is happening or where you're going. But when you step out in faith with Jesus, He's already doing it. And I think that's the revelation I got today, is that although this is a huge step of faith that we've actually been doing for the 3 years that we've been planning this, that it hasn't been just a unknown thing, that actually Jesus has been in front of us doing it with us, that we haven't been doing it by ourselves. Yeah. So on that note, I want to encourage you. Do a faith jump in your life. I would wholly recommend it. As Nikki said, their fear will come, but that's cool because you can listen to the sermon and do what she just said. And it's completely crazy, and sometimes you just look at each other and think, what are you doing? But the excitement and the joy and actually the amazing stories you have to be able to tell people about what God does and what He moves and how He changes you and changes your family is incredible. So I would recommend you to do a leap of faith with God.
Fantastic. Well, at 1 o'clock, we will be gathering for a picnic at the chapel just to celebrate, to hang out as family with these guys, to say some final farewells. And I'm sure more tears will be shed, but there'll be a lot of laughter too. We're going to close with a song, and during that song, if you're a parent and you have a child in Kids Church, now's your chance to come and sign them out. Please make sure you do, so that we can make sure that all our children are accounted for. And have a great week, church.